Welcome back to Bladder Briefs, Teehee Briefs, quick takes on true crime that might save you some deliberation. Mark Blankenship was my guest on the main pod this week, and in this brief, I'm returning to a topic we covered in episode 24, the possibly not justifiable homicide of a great soul singer and activist. Counselors, in my chambers for... Remastered, The Two Killings of Sam Cooke, The Crime. Cooke died on December 11th, 1964, at the Hacienda Motel in Los Angeles. Answering separate reports of a shooting and of a kidnapping at the motel, police found Cooke's body clad only in a sports jacket and shoes. He had sustained a gunshot wound to the chest. The motel's manager, Bertha Franklin, said she had shot Cooke in self-defense after he broke into her office residence and attacked her, allegedly looking for Lisa Boyer, the sex worker who claimed he had kidnapped her and been on the verge of raping her when she stole his pants and fled the room. The story. Those who knew Cooke immediately disputed this version of events and continue to do so in a new episode of Netflix's Remastered, whose logline is "The music you know, the stories you don't." I did know a fair bit of this story, having watched a couple of other shows, Sam Cooke-isodes, but while Remastered has a couple of familiar faces from previous iterations of the story, it's also got a Hall of Fame Talking Head interviewee lineup. Smokey Robinson, Jim Brown, NYU's Jason King on the Music History Tip, Quincy Jones and Dionne Warwick, to name just a few. And it's got gorgeous visuals and footage from Cooke's early TV appearances, and, more importantly, some vintage visuals and bracing language and content that are the opposite of gorgeous, illustrating what faced African-American performers in the Jim Crow South and that tie into Remastered's real understanding of Sam Cooke's story, that he wasn't just a great and appealing literal voice, but an activist voice as well, and that the possibility that his death was related to his refusal to tolerate racist bullshit, mob strong-arm industry bullshit, and sticky-fingered manager bullshit was not investigated properly because it occurred in Watts in 1964 and was therefore easily and promptly dismissed by law enforcement. That point is made neatly by Remastered, but the episode, I wouldn't say it rushes through Cooke's death exactly, but possibly because it sees its mandate as shining a light on Cooke's commitment to protest and to civil rights, and away from the tawdrier particulars of his demise, it doesn't do a great job from a crime story standpoint in detailing why Lisa Boyer and Bertha Franklin's stories don't pass the smell test. It's certainly credible to me that Cooke could have been set up by parts of a white establishment that found him and his career threatening, so it's not that I need to see the math. But if the episode's overarching point is that said white establishment was more than happy with this narrative, and not least its conclusion, then unfortunately, you have to spend a little more time on what did happen. But that's not what Remastered is out to do. And what it is out to do, bring us back to that time and make sure we understand what was lost in that time's context, it does very well. This clip is long, but it's a great example of what makes this hour and 13 minutes so watchable. Mr. Robinson kicks us off, and Mr. Jones will bring us home.
This was a time when we were on the last legs of vaudeville and on the beginnings of rock and roll, of that kind of R&B rock and roll. So a lot of the places that we played were like not very much bigger than this room. They had one microphone with five of us trying to sing on one microphone. And I'm singing Bad Girl into this guy's chest, because that's how close the crowd was. There was no stage, and we were on the floor, and I'm singing Bad Girl into this guy's chest, and people behind him are yelling and screaming, "Move out of the way! We couldn't see him!" And so that's an example of what some of that stuff was like.
In traveling in the South with the Soul Stirrers, they're dealing with where they can stay, where they can eat, the audiences they can play to. At that moment, you know, he's a kid. He's got to go with what's going on, but it really pained him, you know, the heavy yoke of the Jim Crow laws, which was something he wasn't really that accustomed to, but had to get used to pretty quickly.
The conditions were very hard and very prejudiced. There were places in the South where we couldn't even stay in the hotels. We'd have to stay in rooming houses.
We used to have to sleep in mortuaries with six bodies there. I was sleeping in a cot, six bodies in caskets, you know.
I did not clip Misty on Warwick relating a tale of her own badassery in the segregated South, but I cannot recommend strongly enough that you seek it out for yourself. Avenging Angel Among Us. This episode was produced by the Zimbalist brothers, who brought us The Two Escobars, which I covered in episode 77. And it was directed by Kelly Duane de la Vega, who helmed The Return, a POV doc about the repeal of the three strikes statute in California. The subject matter does a lot of the work, it's true, but this is a compelling, well-composed hour and a quarter. Mostly. Emmett Till's name is misspelled in a chyron, and that should not be happening. But it moves right along, and I'm very excited to get into the back catalog of Remastered. Got a request and dedication for me? Get after it on social. That's Blotter Presents on both Facebook and Twitter. Or you can email me, bunting@the-blotter.com. Patreon tipsters get extras like custom recommendation lists and more briefs. Briefs. You can join the tipster crew at patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm always prepared to rule.